Jesus is making the claim to be the Son of God. Does that make sense? What's impossible apart from God, Jesus does it. Jesus is changing hearts and minds and habits for a lifetime. Now, I'm sure most of you have already seen this leaflet there, the Passion for Life leaflet, which should be going around most of the houses in Lechlade, and there's some at the back. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. Who is the most unlikely person you can think of to become a Christian and to become a regular member coming perhaps to this church or to another church? Who is the most unlikely person you can think of? You see, all of us in our hearts and minds have written people off. They don't look like they need Jesus. They seem far too respectable. They seem too far well adjusted. They don't need Jesus. Or perhaps somebody's completely so far off the rails, they'll never come to believe in this. Of course it would be a miracle. What is impossible with men is possible with God. Jesus can get the camel through the eye of the needle. It's impossible for us, but it is possible for God. So I'm going to encourage us in our prayers in the next few weeks and the next few months over this period of different events for Passion for Life to be bold in our prayers. Let's think the unthinkable and ask that God would open blind eyes and people would see the truth. By ourselves, we cannot do it. No matter what your powers of persuasion, no matter what our budget for publicity might be, we cannot do it by ourselves. It is only God who can do the impossible. But the second thing we learn about Jesus is this. Jesus uses apparently insignificant effects to bring people into the kingdom. Now, Zacchaeus starts off with a very familiar motive, curiosity. He's just downright nosy. And how many of us have not been full of curiosity and have been nosy at one point or the other? Look what it says at the beginning of our reading, chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel. Verse 2, a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. Now maybe Zacchaeus was a sort of man who liked all the local gossip. He had his ear to the ground and he understood the news that was going around about this great miracle worker, Jesus. Maybe Jesus' disciple Levi, sometimes called Matthew, another tax collector, had told all his tax collector friends and buddies about this man, Jesus. Jesus might have even deliberately gone out of his way to go to Jericho and to bump into this man, Zacchaeus. But however it happens, we find this very strange story of Jesus is staring up into a tree and this little tax collector is staring down at him. And that's where the story happens. It seems a very small action, Zacchaeus climbing a tree. But on these small things, these small hinges, turns his eternal salvation. We should never despise the day of small things, as the prophet Zechariah put it. Small, insignificant things can be greatly used by God. I'm sure many of you have heard the story of David Suchet, the well-known actor, probably best known for playing Inspector Poirot. This is his story. I converted to Christianity in 1986, and it is the most important thing in my life. It all started in a hotel in America, when I suddenly felt the need to read the Bible again, and I looked everywhere, but could not find one in my room. So I went out and bought a New Testament and started to read. As I read Paul's letter to the Romans, all the words seemed to make such wonderful sense, and I realized then that this was a way of life that I'd always been looking for. God used the boredom of an actor in a hotel room to bring about his salvation. Or what about the story of the prisoner who smoked his way through the pages of a Bible? Here's the story of Richard Taylor from Wales. By age 18, I had over 30 offences to my name and had the regional crime squad looking for me and breaking into a chemist. And in 1993, I was remanded into custody. I was locked up for 23 hours a day and thought life would always be like that. One day I wanted to smoke a joint but had no papers. So I saw Gideon's Bible in my cell and used one of its pages to roll the joint and literally smoked the Bible. I was about to tear out another page but started reading it instead. I'd never read the Bible before and I became fascinated by it. I read John's Gospel and couldn't understand why Jesus, a man who had only done good, was crucified. I asked a vicar about it and explained to me about forgiveness of sins and about having a relationship with God. I'd never heard that before. I went into my cell and prayed, God, if you are there, change my life. Nothing happened. So I just left it there, but I kept reading the Bible. Then a man from the prison fellowship came to see me once a week to talk about Jesus. What blew me away was that this man considered himself to be as much a sinner as I was. And as a result, I began to pray. One afternoon, a founder of Victory Outreach Church invited me to go and live in their rehabilitation centre in the Welsh Valleys. So I agreed. It was full of ex-offenders. They regularly attended lively worship services. I've never seen anything like it. At one of the meetings, I had an encounter with Jesus that radically changed my life. I cried out to him and told him, I give you my life. And then everything changed for me. You see, God can use small things. A little man climbing a tree, a prisoner smoking his way through the pages of a Bible, an actor being bored in a hotel room. Let's not despise the power of a small invitation, a little tract, a short conversation, a book, or an internet video to lead people to Christ. We can all play our role. We can all be a link in the chain that brings somebody into a living relationship with God. So first of all, Jesus does the impossible. Secondly, Jesus uses seemingly insignificant things to bring people into the kingdom. But Jesus also seeks and saves the lost. Now, we know tax collectors were extraordinarily unpopular in Jesus' time. We know they were dishonest, they were unscrupulous, they were collaborators with the Roman occupiers. But in Luke's gospel, tax collectors get a very good name. Chapter 3, they come to Jesus to be baptized and they ask for advice. Chapter 7, tax collectors acknowledge that God's way is the right way and many have been baptized by John the Baptist. Chapter 15, we read of tax collectors and other sinners gathering around Jesus to hear his words. And in chapter 18, in the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, it is the tax collector who beats his breast and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Despised, unattractive outcasts, yet deeply loved by God. Luke's gospel is full of love for the outsider and the unlovable. Jesus loves the unlovely. As the good shepherd, he goes out of his way to find the sheep that have gone astray. The story of the Bible is how God comes to search for us, though we try to hide from him. Adam and Eve would hide in the garden when God wanted them. And this is the big message of the Bible. God sends out a search party. We think in this story it's a case looking for Jesus, but actually the reality is it's Jesus looking for the case. Now in verse 10 of our reading, we have this great gospel verse. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. It's a great gospel verse. Jesus did not primarily come to teach or to heal or to live the perfect life, though he did all of those things. Jesus came to seek and to save. Now let's not be embarrassed by this language of being saved. It is not fundamentalist or medieval or simplistic or irrelevant. Jesus himself calls himself a savior. We need to be saved. Now, the events which we're going to put on next month is all about trying to encourage people to reconnect with God and to investigate themselves what the Christian faith is all about. Jesus is offering life, eternal life, life lived to the full. And Zacchaeus was utterly transformed by meeting Jesus. There was a very tangible demonstration that his heart had been changed. Verse 8 says this, Zacchaeus stood there, all of him, and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Here's a very visible, tangible sign that this man's heart had been changed. It was my training incumbent about 15 years ago who once told me the truth that the last thing to be converted of a man is his wallet. And it's very true, isn't it? It's true. The last thing to be converted is often person's personal wealth. And the false idols of greed and wealth in this man's life have now melted away the true worship of God. And many millions of people have been transformed when Christ has entered their lives. Now, I've quoted from this book before, but I just want to say one more quote from this book. It's called Out of the Black Shadows. It's The Amazing Transformation of Stephen Lungu. It's an amazing book, Out of the Black Shadows. Let me just read you a little bit. Born into absolute poverty and abandoned as a child in Rhodesia, Stephen Lungu once joined a left-wing terrorist group called the Black Shadows, who sought to overthrow the white government by means of violence and terror. One day in 1962, they planned to attack a big tent full of white people, and Stephen Lungu went equipped with a bag full of petrol bombs. They'd all been given their orders by the leader. At 7 p.m., I will whistle, and everyone threw their stones and petrol bombs into the tent entrance. I want everyone inside that tent to die. Stephen was a bit early, so he waited outside for a bit and listened to what was being said over the PA system. It was a Christian meeting, and he was transfixed by the message of forgiveness of Jesus Christ, first from a girl from Soweto, and then from a preacher from Zambia. And Stephen Lungu says this, "Suddenly I began to understand what Christianity was all about. It was for someone like me. I could identify with this Jesus. He had suffered in all the ways that I knew so well. Poverty, oppression, hunger, thirst, loneliness. I had known all these things. My wages were death, but Jesus paid the price for me. On the cross, he became a nobody that I could become a somebody." And when the speaker asked for people to commit themselves to following Jesus, Stephen Lungu was amazed to find himself going forward with the bombs still in his bag. He then went on to Bible college and eventually started a great mission work with an organization called African Enterprise. God can do remarkable things with ordinary people. Zacchaeus came down at once from the tree when Jesus announced that he wanted to have fellowship with him. From that moment, nothing would ever be the same for this vertically challenged tax collector. Are we praying today that God would breathe new life, glorious, spirit-filled life, into people around us? Will we take our next journey of faith? Will we invite others to at least consider these claims of what Jesus has said to us? There's no denying that can be difficult, but God said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And let's praise God that he's still in the business of seeking and saving the lost, even for people like you and for me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for what you tell us about the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. We thank you that with you all things are possible. And Lord, we pray today for those around us that we yearn to see coming to follow Jesus for themselves. Lord, please give us the courage. Please give us the strength to invite people to various different events, to be salt and light in this world. And we pray, Father, that you would take sometimes the even small and significant things and use them for your glory and for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that even in our weakness, you are strong and you will act through us. So, Lord, now hear our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.